This is the John Oakley Show on Talk Radio, AM 640.
I wish she'd talk to me like that. Didn't care where I scratched or sat. And gave me praise for being lazy and fat. But she only talks that way to the cat.
She only talks that way to the cat. Who is that cat? Well, that's Marvin the Cat, who is now immortalized in song from, well, his owner, Mark Stein, a best-selling author and blogger and, of course, friend of the Oakley Show, who joins us every other Wednesday at this time. And, Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Good morning.
Hey, great to be with you, John.
You know, we were just talking about a situation out of Tennessee, so I want to stay down in Dixie if I can. And
just on that issue, by the way, you're absolutely right about the lack of discretion. And I'd actually go further and call it a lack of humanity, and it's particularly bad in American schoolhouses. I mean, what this prom situation where you don't let an autistic boy come into the prom, you know, and the officials stay at the door, we're just enforcing the rules. So you wreck what is a rite of passage, a great moment of transition between childhood and adulthood for this guy forever. A human being doesn't know that. But in American schoolhouses, they do that with everything. You read, these stories come up every week. A guy nibbles a Pop-Tart into a shape that somebody thinks looks like a gun. So they shut down, I think this was Pennsylvania, they shut down the whole school. It's in lockdown. SWAT teams arrive because of this Pop-Tart that somebody thinks is in the shape of a gun. A first grader thinks that he's, you know, it's his birthday and he's in a friendly mood, and he hugs one of his fellow first graders who happens to be a girl. So they put him in a sexual offender registry, and that's going to stay on his record when he's 57 years old and he's running for governor. It'll come up that he's in the sexual offender database. This lack of humanity. I mean, a lot of modern education, frankly, I was listening to that school teacher you had on, a lot of contemporary education is in fact institutionalized child abuse, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, they're just following the orders.
We was only following orders. You can't come into the prom. No.
Well, as I was saying, you know, Dixie is replete with all kinds of interesting case studies, not least of which is something being called the Scopes Monkey Trial for the New Millennium. And if you remember that trial from the 20s, I guess you're going to play the poor man's Clarence Darrow. You're Spencer Tracy here in the crosshairs, Mark Stein with us. The idea that the North Carolina folk, and the governor included, sued the feds because the feds gave them a deadline of 5 p.m. on Monday to, you know, basically stand down and allow people to self-identify and use whichever washroom or put in a transgender washroom. So that's become contentious now. They have couched it, the feds have, in something like, you know, the celebrated case Brown versus the Board of Education from Kansas in the mid-50s, that this is a civil rights issue. Are they right about that?
No, I mean, there's nothing about transgendered bathrooms in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. I think this is a discretion issue. I don't know actually what the correct answer to this is. I understand people are scared if they've got, you know, an 8-year-old daughter and this strange guy is prowling around the ladies' room. But on the other hand, you know, if I'm standing at a urinal, I'm not sure I'd be terribly happy if Caitlyn Jenner walked in and stood next to me in the full getup. I understand from the New York Post that she's still got the full wedding tackle. And so under this law, you know, she'd have to come into the men's room. Now, I think that's something to leave to individual discretion. But what this is about power. It's about the United States government saying there is suddenly, without precedent in American history, there is suddenly a federal bathroom law from Alaska to Florida, from Maine to Hawaii. And I think that's insane. I think this is let's work it out as we go along. Caitlyn Jenner went into Trump Tower and used the ladies' room a couple of weeks ago and professed herself delighted with it. But maybe if she's in some little town on the other side of the country or whatever, they got a whole lot of different things about it. The idea that there has to be a one size fits all transgendered bathroom law is completely insane. We'll be talking about, as I always say, we'll be talking about transgendered bathrooms when the Mullers nuke us. It's a sign of decadence.
Well, all right. Well, and they would obviously reverse whatever that law would be, but mandate it to small businesses as well, businesses right. over 15 employees, which, again, is overreach on the part of the feds. I wanted to come back and talk about overreach insofar as an argument is concerned with this whole thing at Fort McMurray. I'm sure you're covering that, and it seems now that Elizabeth May has suggested climate change. We're really reaping the bitter harvest of all the things we've done, burning fossil fuels, including the dirty oil from the oil sands. It's just the chickens coming home to roost, to quote the Reverend. With Mark Stein, we'll come back and address that. And maybe Melania Trump's good looks, asset or liability.
And I'm pleased to confirm, Mr. Speaker, that I will be going personally to Fort McMurray on Friday to offer some support for all Canadians.
All right, Justin Trudeau yesterday in the House, and of course, that's been contentious as to whether or not, you know, too late, it's about the right time, so on and so forth. Let's talk about Fort McMurray. Mark Stein is with us on the line, the prolific author and blogger, and of course, he's also a chanteur of some renown with Feline Groovy, rocketing up the Amazon.com charts. So, Mark, this Fort McMurray thing, I'm sure you've been covering that. First of all, I mean, you know, he has come under criticism, the Prime Minister, for not showing the leadership that, say, you know, George Bush did after 9/11, standing on the rubble there at the fallen towers. And, you know, we'll hear you in the voices, you know, the people who right. did this will soon hear from. Do you think he missed an opportunity, or would it have just been seen as another photo op?
Well, George W. Bush got into trouble after the floods in Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, when he didn't, apparently, people said, spring into action fast enough. I don't think in either situation there's a lot that a head of government from the national capital can do about things like this. One of the most one of the most depressing aspects about essentially a natural phenomenon that causes disaster on a scale that is rare is that we attempt to politicize it all the time. We attempt to find the political angle. I don't think whether Justin Trudeau is standing outside a burning building in Fort McMurray actually makes any difference to the residents of Fort McMurray. I do think one of the most boring things is when, you know, people like Elizabeth May kind of retreat to their lame tropes and insist that whatever happens is the fault of climate change. Which she did, and I certainly think that is one of the least useful and most tedious responses. And there are certainly political questions. You know, I bought my pad in New Hampshire a zillion years ago, and it's in a town that's 95% forested, and I have a substantial land owning, and so I've learned over the years to know a little bit about forestry management, and I do think you can make the argument that certain environmentalist attitudes to things that used to be routine, like clearing away scrub and clearing away brush, have led to more forest fires in recent years. And this sort of fetishization of every single tree, so that you've got some wizened old, ugly old poplar that's coming in through your bedroom window, but the environmentalists say, no, you can't chop that thing down. I think some of that has contributed to the rise in forest fires, but I'm not ready to go there on Fort McMurray yet, and I don't think Elizabeth May should be either. This is a natural disaster, and we shouldn't be politicizing it.
Well, yeah, but you saw Al Gore in The Inconvenient Truth talking about Katrina and Category 5 hurricanes, a result of climate change or global warming at the time, right. It was said. So this, you called it a trope, continues on in certain precincts. I mean, it's easy to vilify, or at least they find it easy to vilify the folks around the oil sands and say there's some kind of a causal thing going on here.
Yeah, and I think that's actually incredibly insulting. The fact is that the society that Elizabeth May and David Suzuki live in is powered by oil, and that has been the case since the late 19th century. And if they don't like that, that's fine. But to advance the proposition that it's some kind of cosmic karma, the people in Fort McMurray had it coming in some way, is absolutely ridiculous. There was a guy, I mean, what is ridiculous about this is that there was a guy at MIT a couple of days ago who gave a lecture arguing that Islamophobia causes global warming. If you recall Stefan Dion, he says that global warming causes all this Islamic terrorism. So in effect, I cause Islamic terrorism. I'm so Islamophobic that I cause global warming. So Fort McMurray combusts and somebody goes full Allahu Akbar on the streets of Brussels, and it's all my fault for being Islamophobic. And that's great. It's the great universal explanation for everything that happens. You know, I think you were talking about Melania Trump before the break.
Yes.
People say, is she too hot to be first lady? We wouldn't have all these hot first ladies if it weren't for global warming.
Yeah.
Back in the day when it was all cooler, we had Eleanor Roosevelt. And that's the kind of climatically stable kind of first lady that we need in America. Once the temperature goes up and we get, it's Melania Trump now, what's it going to be next? Miley Cyrus twerking at the inauguration? It's global warming.
Yes, it's all the butterfly ripple effectsy that you've set things in motion here, the cosmic tumblers. But, you know, on a serious note here, this Melania Trump being condemned for being too beautiful, called a sex doll by Rachel Johnson in the Daily Mail. In the Washington Post, Robin Givhan calls her the first hottie, and Melania Trump from professional pretty person to potential first lady. Is there something that, I don't know, there's a greater subtext to all of this?
Well, look, Melania Trump speaks four languages, which is as many languages as Michelle Obama, Laura Bush, Hillary Clinton, and Barbara Bush combined. I think this is a ridiculous way of looking at it, but particularly at a time when the principal candidate on the other side, the likely nominee on the other side. The only reason anyone has ever heard of her is because she's Mrs. William Jefferson Clinton. And that's the only reason she became a senator and from there became Secretary of State. So I don't think this is a contest when you're up against a successful businesswoman, which is what Melania Trump is, who speaks four languages, to be debating her merits versus the merits of Bill Clinton as first gentleman in the White House. Well, he's certainly not too hot these days.
Well,
the global warming hasn't kicked in on his hotness in this political season.
Well,
he's looking hottied out.
I was going to say, he's going to take some heat if Donald Trump is any indication of where he's willing to take this, and that'll be proved to be interesting. And all this from the crooner who gave us Feline Groovy, still rocketing up the charts.
Yeah, it's doing well. We're going to have a new cat video out for the song you just played any day soon.
That's what the world needs.
I've been practicing my ham acting just for that.
Well, you know, the world could use another cat video. So
yeah,
we'll look forward to it. Look forward to speaking to you again real soon, Mark. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
You got a Mark Stein. There he is. And Feline Groovy, by the way, is his CD dedicated to cats.
The John Oakley Show. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on AM 640 or download the app at 640toronto.com.